That's the spirit.
I'll turn you up there, Peter. Good afternoon, Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon to you. Nice to hear your voice today.
You too. What's going on?
So, well, it hasn't happened yet, but we're going to try and sneak a preview of the world's Parliament of Religions. Sadly, a virtual Parliament of Religions that's going to be taking place in cyberspace in just 3 weeks' time.
It's interesting you say cyberspace, because John and I were drawing parallels before between this and the sort of Jedi...
Council,
yeah, the wise council. Is this kind of like same thing? Or?
I wonder if any Jedi will be at the World's Parliament of Religions. Quite possibly there will be.
There'll be a few Star Wars fans, for sure.
Yes, for sure. Mm. Whether they'll actually be Jedi worshippers, I do not know.
How do you get an invite to this? So, is it
well, it looks like we can enroll.
An ambassador of all religions?
Or of a religion?
I think you have to come on behalf of your religion. Mm-hmm. But come open to all religions.
Okay, but then prepare to fight to the death, and the winner is the leader of all the religions. Or
no,
what's the purpose of the get together?
So, what's the purpose of it? Well, partly it's just keeping a tradition going.
Right, right.
The very first Parliament of Religions was held during the Chicago World Fair in 1893, and Chicago has been quite strongly associated with the movement ever since then.
Mm.
So, at that first event, and I've just been reading some of the early addresses that were given at that parliament to refresh my mind, it was a quite remarkable event because it was the very first time, really, that an interfaith gathering had been convened which tried not to put down any alternative traditions. I mean...
Right, it's not like a debate. It's a...
It's not a debate, but everybody was allowed to put forward their particular arguments. One of the most striking was the representative of Japanese Buddhism, who made some quite interesting remarks about the ways in which America was not actually a very fair place to people who were interested in religions. It really was. I'll just quote you a few words of what he said. You send your missionaries to Japan. They advise us to be moral and believe Christianity. We like to be moral. We know Christianity is good. We're very thankful for this kindness. But at the same time, our people are rather perplexed and very much doubt about their advice. For when we think that the treaty stipulated in the time of feudalism when we were yet in our youth is still clung to by the powerful nations of Christendom. And later on he says, some time ago, a Japanese was not allowed to enter a university on the Pacific coast of America because of his being of a different race. So he got stuck in to the racism and Christianiocentrism.
Real talk. A little bit of real talk there.
That's right, yes. And so that's what it gave people the advantage to do.
Mm-hmm. How often are these symposiums?
So, well,
love that word.
The first one was held in 1893. The second one was only held in 1993.
Wow.
But since then, they've got into it, and they're now supposedly every 2 years, although in practice it's worked out at rather less frequent than that. And I think you can argue it sort of brings together the liberal elements of most religions, and that the conservative elements would have nothing to do with this.
But a lot of squinting. I feel like there'd be a lot of squinting around the room, eh?
Yes.
What's your vibe?
What sort of issues are going to be on the table, would you imagine, Peter?
Well, in 1993, quite significantly, one of the great Christian religious scholars who's become very keen on a kind of wider approach to knowledge, and that is the late Professor Hans Kung, presented his... towards a global ethic. And so it was a proposal that actually religions could find unity on their ethics if they couldn't find unity on their beliefs. And that was quite widely endorsed at that event, and that became quite a significant thing. So it's where religions recognize that they can find common cause without having to define who they worship or how they worship, that they can agree on what their standards of living should be.
Mm.
And that's quite an interesting achievement. But I think probably more than anything else, it's a kind of symbolic event.
Yeah.
So like a lot of these sort of more populist events, there's no formal recognition of approving of who's the delegate from Christianity. I mean, how could there be?
There are so many nooks and crannies, though. So how many religions are actually represented? And, like, at what point are you considered a religion to even sit at the table, you know? Is someone from Scientology there, do you think?
Scientology rather enjoys going to occasions like this.
Right.
Let's
do it at our place, actually. It's totally mint.
Yes.
We've got a brand new Weber barbecue.
Precisely. So typically there have been, at the World's Fair in 1893, what was it? It was several thousand.
Wow.
Subsequent ones had been typically 8,000 people.
Okay.
So they were big occasions, really big occasions. So anybody who wanted to go could go. And as far as the virtual one, there's presumably no limit, and it costs just $90 US to enroll, or $10 if you're a student.
So you can kind of go as a spectator and watch all these religious people talk about...
Well, precisely. You'll be on one of those dreadful Zoom calls where they'll silence you.
It's like a religious world fair.
That's right. You can look at every single person. And in fact, there's a list of the speakers has been released, and it's got... a notable Lord Karen Villimoria from Cambridge and on the Prime Minister of India's Global Advisory Council, so presumably Hindu, Dharma Master Cheng Yen of the Buddha, a Buddhist from Taiwan,
so did
Reverend William Barber, who looks like a black American preacher.
Okay, good.
Christian. And Dr. Vandana Shiva, who is presumably a Hindu.
Am I to assume this was to go ahead planned before COVID-19, and then they were like, oh, man.
Yep, precisely. It was converted into a virtual event because, in fact, it was due to have happened in 2020.
Right.
But then they've now given up and decided virtual is the only way to do it, like a lot of things like this. So if the United Nations can stream in world leaders, this can stream in world religious leaders.
Who sort of finances an event like this?
It looks as though some of the big American universities have put money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, when the people are actually there, it's virtually self-funding. And if they really got 10,000 people at $90, I don't think they'd have any problems in funding the whole occasion. It's interesting, though, because funding has been an issue in the past, and so that there was to have been one held in Brussels in, 2007? And the global financial crisis came along and they pulled out.
It's almost like all the gods don't want this to happen a little bit.
Yes, well, it could be. Getting the gods to agree is the challenge, I think.
Getting the gods to agree. That's
yes, good. Well, that's the problem. They seem to have vetoes.
I don't think the gods have a problem with each other. It seems to be the people that worship the gods that have the issue.
True. And it was interesting that I think one of the things the Parliament of Religions has done has been to give a platform to liberal elements in religions. For example, in Judaism, Reform Jews that were a little known brand of Jews in 1893 got their first chance to come onto a world stage.
Mm.
And issues like that, you know, have given minor religions, small groups, the sense they've got an equal voice along with the big and pushy ones.
Chuck it on the old resume, like, oh, were you guys at the, you were, I see, you're a proper religion,
yep.
Okay.
So there's probably a badge.
There's probably a couple of cults there, just getting the badge, just like you do for scouts. They're like, look, we've got the badge. We're definitely a religion. We went to the religious thing.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I think the Pastafarians are bound to be there.
If you've got a problem, take it up with the leader.
Did you say Pastafarians?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Delicious.
I think it's very likely.
I thought you were like, Rasta? What?
Yeah.
Will there be any Rastas there?
Fuck that. Oh, for sure. For sure, Rastafarians are bound to be there in significant numbers.
This looks like one of the funniest looking Zoom sort of celebrity square situations that anyone's ever seen.
Oh, I think it will be colourful. Yeah. I think that's for sure. And particularly because, I mean, in a sense, exotic comes with extra power.
Well, I think religion is one of the most extreme sort of things that humanity does on a mass scale. And so if you refine it down to the leader, you know, you do get an interesting picture there of a bunch of like, whoa.
It's a long way to the top if you want to be the boss of your religion.
Just say if you want to rock and roll, man.
Yes, the only challenge is that, you know, some of these people who are big spokes in small wheels are now reduced to a kind of, what is this? Is this a wheel or what is it?
Yeah, who's and watching so this?
Yeah, that's right. And so that's the interesting aspect. I think having a theme or an issue to unite around has been significant. And so they've usually made worthy statements against bad things like militarism or the like.
Extremism in all their religions and stuff as well?
Precisely. Yeah. And I imagine that that's the sort of voice that will come out of this as well. But presumably there's a committee that's going to draft a worthy statement, and we have to just wait and see.
Very interesting.
What is it?
When's it going down, Peter?
So it's happening on October the 9th to the 17th.
Okay. Interesting.
So you get quite a lot, you know, for your money's worth.
Well, I have no doubt you'll keep us up to date if any big bombs get dropped, so to speak. So.
I thought you were going to sponsor me.
I've got another money up here somewhere for you, mate.
Yeah, thank you. All right, that's good.
Toodle pip, bro.
Excellent.